Welcome to episode 10 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. This is Andrea, and I'm here with
Andrew.
And we have a special guest again. We have Rosie from Palabras Bookstore. Say hi, Rosie.
Hi, Rosie.
Rosie loves herself. I love Rosie too. It's okay. This is episode 10. We're interviewing Rosie, but we'll get some of the formalities out of the way. So is there anything you wanted to highlight? Did you really have anything this week?
I have no events this week.
No events? Okay. I actually did have something that I wanted to highlight. On at the Rebel Lounge on Friday, September 21st, it's going to be Holy Fawn. It's the Death Spells album release show with This Patch of Sky, The Living Receiver, and Rotting Yellow. So I think those are some interesting band names. and again, that's Friday, September 21st, and you can go ahead and buy tickets, and you can follow the Rebel Lounge at the Rebel PHX on Instagram. Rosie, is there anything coming up on the bookstore that you wanted to bring up?
Yes, there is one event that is coming up in September. On September 29th, there's going to be our Latinx open mic night, and that starts at 6:30. It's 6:30 to 8:30. If you want to sign up, just follow us on Facebook, and you'll find the event page there, and it'll have an email address that you would sign up on.
And for what's the Instagram for the bookstore?
It is palabras_bookstore.
And then on Facebook, it's just Palabras Bookstore. You can search it, right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, awesome. So, and you're located on 17th Street in McDowell?
Yes, 1738 East McDowell Road.
Okay, perfect, because I did not know the address. I would have to Google it.
We are actually recording at Palabras Bookstore. Yeah, so actually, if we sound a little different, that's probably
why. I didn't say that. But yeah, this is our first kind of bringing the podcast to you, in a sense, like to somewhere else. So we're here and recording in the bookstore, so it's pretty neat. The ambience of the bookstore is always nice. They have some good music going on, they have books, and there's also other things in here, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But did you want to get into the songs?
Did we get any pickups this week? Gotta talk about that.
Have you bought any records recently, Rosie?
I can't say that I have. Jeff is usually the one who buys all the records for us.
He's the buyer, but he knows your taste.
He knows my taste. He knows it well.
I don't know. Did we buy anything? I can't remember. I think we were good.
Yeah, I just got some 45s from Grand Avenue, and that's about it.
Oh, that's right. But we were good. We didn't buy anything. We didn't buy anything. That's good.
You want to go ahead and do the songs?
Yep, we can get into the songs.
So for the songs this week, since Rosie's our guest, we did the songs on her birthday. And Rosie, do you know this number one song on your birthday? Like the date of your birth, like the Hot 100 song.
Or can you just guess? Because it's going to be like, basically, we just do the Hot 100, so it's the top song on your birthday. Do you know? Have any idea?
I have no idea. I mean, Cyndi Lauper or something? I don't know.
It's a good 80s. Guess.
It's actually Foreigner, I Want to Know What Love Is.
Do you know that song?
I heard the song. I can say that I've heard the
She's
song.
She's like, I can't say I'm a fan of it.
But I can't say that I'm a fan, but I have heard it. You Are we going to hear it right now?
No.
She's all, please don't play.
We don't want to hear that.
But don't you want to know what love is, too?
I want everyone to show me.
And then they say, supposedly, so that, like we said before, there was that thing going around online. It said the number one song on your 14th birthday. I don't know why this person chose 14th birthday, but supposedly that song is supposed to define your life. So we're going to count down the top five songs when you were 14 years old, which was in 1999?
Correct.
Okay.
Same age as us, though. We should say you were 14 then, right? Pretty sure.
1999, you were 14.
Yeah, we know. I think we know how to math, so I'm pretty sure. Five plus four is nine.
That's right.
So the number five on the charts was Have You Ever by Brandy. I mean, it's a good song.
We had a lot of jams going on. Let's be real.
Believe by Cher was number four. Do you remember that one?
I remember that one.
Yeah.
And Nobody's Supposed to Be Here. Deborah Cox.
Love that
three.
Song.
Number two, Baby One More Time by Britney Spears.
I'm not going to lie, when that song came out, I still don't really care for it, but I didn't like that song at all.
And number one on your birthday when you were 14 years old is Angel of Mine by Monica.
That's actually not a bad song.
That's a good one.
That is
me and my best friend, Christina Cuevas. She's listening to this. That we loved Monica. We were just huge fans.
So were you, did you like Monica more than Brandy?
Yeah,
we did. She's like, I want
to
say
we used to sing songs to each other.
Was Monica that one of the songs?
Yes, that was one of the songs.
Well, how funny. So at least you have a good song, because I just wasn't happy with my song. And I don't, he was happy with his song, but it's because I told him he was, because he said, I loved that music video because it had the Mariah Carey one. I'm like, of course you did, because you were 14. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it, right, for the top five songs. And I guess we'll get the...
Just get on the main subject.
Yep. So we have Rosie here, and we're going to talk to her. So everybody knows that Rosie is the owner of the Palabras bookstore, but we're going to go ahead and get some history from her. So Rosie, where are you from? Where were you born? All that good stuff.
I'm from AZ.
Representing.
I was born at the Maricopa County Hospital right here in Phoenix. Third floor. 7 pounds, 5 ounces, on a rainy day in February, February 9th. And then I was raised in Tempe, as I like to call it, T-Town. And I represent T-Town for sure. It's definitely not the same as when I was a kid. There was a lot of cool places to go. It's basically become ASU Town, but... From like 0 to 11, I grew up in this neighborhood that's called La Victoria. That's what the Chicanos in the neighborhood call it, or Victory Acres in Tempe. So that was my hood. And then I grew up in other places around Tempe. I've only lived in Phoenix for maybe the last 5 years.
Oh, okay. So you went to high school in Tempe, and elementary school, everything?
Flora through elementary school, and then I went to McClintock High School. Go Chargers.
She'll still rep in. And then from there, so did you graduated high school, I'm assuming, right?
That's right, I did.
And did you go to college, or did you kind of stay and then you worked?
I am a college dropout.
Hey, at least you got a dropout. I didn't get that part.
So, yeah. Well, first I went to a school called the Southwest Institute of Healing Arts. So it's like my mom was a curandera. I was raised on, you know, herbal medicine and all of that. So that's still a big part of my life.
And can you explain that really quick just for people like that don't know what that is, like what that means?
It's a healer. So it's someone who usually works with herbs. Sometimes there's other different religious aspects to it, like... Catholicism is heavily involved in it. Saints are heavily involved in it. So it's just kind of a traditional healing modality from Mexico. So, yeah, I went to that school. I did graduate from that school with a degree in Western herbalism and holistic health. And I'm a Reiki master teacher as well, even though I haven't been practicing for a long time. And then I went to school for creative writing for a while. And I really didn't have enough time to pursue the bookstore while at the same time having a daytime job and then going to school. So I had to let it go. But I'm still writing, you know, on my own.
So the writing took a backseat because the bookstore became your focus, correct?
Correct.
And how long has the bookstore been open?
It's been open... going on 3 years now. Started the project in August of 2015. I didn't have any books when I started. I started with just a small bookshelf that had 5 books on it, and then we just kind of grew it from there.
And I read that there was an exhibit that actually came through here, and that's kind of what inspired you to open up the bookstore, correct?
Correct. So it was called Librería Donceles, and it was a traveling art installation by this artist named Pablo Hilguera, who works in New York for MoMA. And it was a Spanish language bookstore. So he was going to all these different major cities around the country, and it was a statement piece saying, you know, these places have so many Spanish speakers. Spanish is the second most spoken language on the planet. We should have bookstores here. And it really kind of made an impact on me. And I decided to create Palabras from there.
That's awesome. See, because I didn't know that, and I was trying to do, because there's, you know, some stuff on out there on the bookstore, so I was trying to do my research, so that's how I found that, and I thought that was really cool that you did see that, and it inspired you to go out and do your own thing for your community here. So, thank you, Rosie.
Thank you.
So, you were initially on Grand Avenue, correct? Because was that the actual first location of the bookstore?
Yes, so we started off on Grand Avenue in this really cool old building called the La Malgosa building. And that's where I met Jeff, too, because he still has his art studio in that building. And so we started off there. And after a year of being in that space that didn't have air conditioning, I kind of saw that it was taking a toll on the books, and it was taking a toll on me and our customers. I was like, I really need to get into a different space. So I was walking along McDowell one day looking at all the beautiful vacant spaces that have some pretty cool architecture to them. And I stopped in the bike shop down the street. It's called Brass Monkey. Just a shout out to Mike from Brass Monkey Bike Shop. If you need your bike fixed, he's the man. And I was going over there to check out the bikes because I was thinking about getting one. And he's like, hey, my girlfriend Chelsea down the street, she has this place called McDowell Market. She has some space available there. So then I came over here, I talked to Chelsea, and I felt really good vibes. And I was like, I should definitely be here. So that's kind of how it all started.
And what other things are in here? Because it's the bookstore, McDowell Market. How many people share this space?
So it's a pretty cool little eclectic group that we have here. It's me with the bookstore, and then it's Chelsea with McDowell Market. So her market is focused on, you know, more natural and organic items, and she has a lot of bulk items. And then she also just opened up the coffee shop portion of her store, so she has espresso and tea as well. And then next to her we have Galeana 39, and that's owned by a gentleman named Curtis, and he makes all of his own candles that smell absolutely amazing. And he was selling those in different places throughout town, and he wanted to have his own space, so he has his own space, and it's like all this beautiful home decor stuff. All these different artists also have jewelry, even just like paintings, all kinds of amazing things that he's curated a beautiful space there. And then behind him is Mucho Mas Art Studio, and that space belongs to Kathy, who is also known as a Crafty Chica, and Emily Costello, and they both do a lot of Mexican themed artwork, and they're part of the Phoenix Fridas. They do a lot of really cool Frida stuff too, all this beautiful crafts. So you have a lot to check out when you come in.
That's awesome. So do you guys do, besides like the mic night and stuff, do other community events here? Do people ever come in and want to do other things here? Is that a possibility? Like if you come and talk to, I'm not sure who you would talk to, but someone here, and people could host things here as well?
Absolutely. We've done a lot of different things. The only bilingual publisher that I know of in Arizona is Cardboard House Press. So they have a lot of their books here, and they do a lot of really cool workshops. They bind their own books, which is pretty neat. And they had a workshop called Cartonera Collective, and they have different authors from different countries, and they find someone to translate it so that there's English and Spanish, and it's mainly poetry just because that's a lot easier to put into one book than, say, you know, fiction. And they get a group of people together. They learn the process of book binding while interacting with each other and binding books, so that's how they make the vast majority of their books. We've also had a Spanish we still have a Spanish conversational group that meets here every second Saturday from 11 to 1, so for people who want to practice their Spanish. We've also had Spanish creating workshops here, too. We had a collaboration with Gala, where Alejandro Zambra came here and did some workshops. If you haven't read his books, they're hilarious and really insightful. So absolutely, if anybody wants to have an event or a workshop, they can just contact me at info@palabrasbookstore.com and just let me know what they plan on doing and when they would like to do it, and then we can go from there.
Awesome. And one of the reasons why I kind of touched base with you beforehand to wanted you on too was to talk about community here in Phoenix, because there's, I mean, that can mean anything, because they're like, obviously the podcast, we talk about record community, but then there's community just in so many other aspects. And we always say the reason why we started the podcast was to kind of get join people together, because in the record community, I mean, everybody's nice. It's not about like niceness necessarily, but there, it just seems like everything's so disjointed and everyone's off into their own little avenues, and we kind of jump into these different little worlds inside of the community, and we meet all these people, but they don't like really all know each other. So it's kind of funny for us to kind of jump into all these little different lanes that people are in and talk to them, when all these people actually have so much in common. It's like, why don't you just come together then and freaking do something? Right. That's how we feel. So that was kind of the point, you know, on us doing the podcast. So it was to kind of like get people together and to kind of document the history here in Phoenix too, because I feel like that's lacking, like documentation of stuff that actually has happened or is happening here. And you go to other places, like big places like LA or, you know, bigger markets, and we're actually a pretty big market here. We're not a small tiny town like some people still think we are, but we really lack that like togetherness. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I feel like Phoenix is just this giant space. I feel that downtown Phoenix is its own little tiny town where we all kind of know each other. It's kind of weird because, yeah, when I think of Phoenix, I think of downtown Phoenix because this is where I live, but you do feel more of a sense of community, but everything's just so spread out, and you know, people are so used to getting everything online, and they sometimes you don't realize that, you know, every time that you're clicking to buy something online instead of going into the place, you're missing an opportunity to meet and interact with people. So I always try to put a little bit in each interview about that, because I feel it's so important. And if you don't come to these spaces and you don't buy books from me, I'm not going to continue to exist. I need the support. So, and that's just for any local business. Showing up, you're creating community. And without that, I mean, what are we all going to do? Just, you know, sit in our homes and order everything online and just interact with maybe our family every once in a while? It's just weird. It's too weird.
Exactly. Well, and I think I read something when I was doing research on the bookstore and stuff. Maybe, I'm pretty sure I read this, so tell me if I'm wrong. I don't care if I'm wrong. Just tell me that you've had people come in here and we're like, well, that's cool. And they'll take a picture and they say, I'm going to buy it on Amazon. Does that happen?
Yeah, occasionally that happens, and it's really, like, so sad.
Like, it's literally in your hands. You're going to get maybe $2 cheaper.
It's so painful. Like, why? You just spent, like, gas money, right? Like, coming out here. This is crazy.
To take pictures, so you're like...
Do you really want to, like, support a community space that's, you know, giving people an opportunity to provide a voice for POC, or do you want like to give Jeff Bezos more money to, you know, try to live on the moon? That's basically what you're deciding right now.
You're like, he's going to colonize the moon and you're going to help him do it.
Like, that's more important somehow.
Yeah. So how do you feel about like the digital media as opposed to like tangible media? Like, obviously you made it pretty clear that Do you do digital media at all, or do you just strictly buy books and read them? Like,
or the same with music and records? Music, do you listen to music on your phone, or do you do both? Because we do both. Like, obviously we listen to music on our phone, but we're obsessed with buying records. So like, we love the tangible media, whether it's books. I cannot read books on a phone or a tablet. I don't know how people do it. Yeah. I don't.
I think there's a balance. You can, you know, access some things online and definitely use that to your advantage. But for me, especially with books, obviously, you know, I'm like the book lady here. But
the book lady.
It's a I love the smell of books. I love the feel of books. And if there's a book that I really love, I don't want to, like, just not have it or have it in some intangible form. It's something that, you know, you want to keep with you. You want to share with somebody else, maybe. That's also the beauty of having a physical book, is it gave you something amazing and changed your life, and then you share it with another person and it could do the same for them. Or even, you know, I have used books too, and I see the different messages that people leave or notes, and you kind of get an inkling of another person, and it's like you're reading two stories almost. So there's something amazing about having a physical book versus, you know, downloading it on your Kindle.
Yeah, that's how it is too. Like, when we buy, like, okay, there's some people out there that collect records that are like, I want the most perfect copy in the world. Like, obviously you want it to sound good, but, like, we don't care if it has, like, writing on the label. To us, that's another story. Like, the person that owned this, it's like, it just feels more personal. Like, there's more personality or history behind it. Like, we have a copy of I think it's the Confessing a Feeling, The Slice, Lickin' Wicked, and that one. It's a beautiful song. It's like an oldie. You probably know it. everybody knows that damn song. But, like, it's all scribbled all over, and I think it has, like, somebody's name on it. They wrote that they loved them or whatever. But it's just, like, it's beautiful seeing that and kind of just seeing that someone was listening to this and was thinking of somebody else, and they cherished that song. So I think it gives you a different experience, the tangible media versus the digital. Like, because the digital, I don't think that you, even with books, like, I've tried to read books, like, on, or, like, you've read comics, right, on your tablet, and I don't know how he does it. I can't do it.
Yeah, I read comics for a little bit through, like, my tablet and phone, but it got really old, like, just swiping, you know, when you get a comic and you feel it, and, like you said, you crack it, you could smell it. It's just that feeling of, like, oh, you know, I own this. As opposed to, oh, I paid $4 to buy a digital.
To access it.
Yeah. If it's something I really want, I really want to own it. Like, always own it forever.
It's mine.
It's mine. It's not just on, you know, a piece of data that's on my phone.
Yeah, because you're going to get a new phone, whether it's in 2 years or 5 years. And it's like, then what's going to happen to your digital copy? You'll probably lose it somewhere in the phone and you never download it to your cloud or whatever type of style of phone you have. And then you're like, I used to have that, but I don't, because it was on my old phone and I got rid of it. It's like, but if you actually physically bought it, you would still have it with you. And you wouldn't have to worry about it was on your damn cloud or whatever it is.
Right.
So, yeah, I always think that's interesting. So do you ever, because we've noticed with this too, like, we'll have people that they want to be involved. And it's not talking down or bad on anybody, because we all have our scheduling issues. So I totally get that. We all have lives. Cause this is a passion project for us. It's not. You know, we're not making money on this. We're no sponsors, nothing. But to me, I'm the type where, too, it's like, you know, if you are going to say something, just communicate and let me know. And sometimes people just, like, don't show up. Does that happen to you?
People not showing up for things?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's sad because then you're like, does anybody care? Nobody cares, right?
Yeah.
Am I the only person who cares? So it really just takes I think we're all guilty of it, of being so distracted by all the things that we're inundated with all the time, you know, on our phones and just life in general. But making time for each other is super important. So I try to I'm busy here with the bookstore too, but I try to go out and do things outside of the bookstore and contribute to what others are doing as well.
Yeah, because it's like you're saying, it's important just to keep the community going. And I always hear people, even in just the record community, just complain about they'll go to, like I said, a big market, and they're like, oh, well, they have this, I would like to do that here, but I don't want to do anything about it. And I'm like, well, you know, I understand, like, we all don't have the same capabilities as others sometimes, but it's like, you can do something to try to be a part of it and at least positively contribute, instead of just saying, we don't have this, we don't have that, we don't have this. It's like, to me, it's like, put yourself out there, whether it's giving the idea to someone else that you know is capable of executing it, or even doing something as simple as maybe just word of mouth promotion. I just feel like sometimes there's a lot of negativity here. Do you ever get that vibe where people just...
Yeah, they're just like, no, that's not going to work. It won't work.
It won't work in Phoenix.
But it's amazing when you see people that do come together and they're like, well, maybe you don't know this aspect of it, but I do. I know this part. And then they just all start making it happen. Like when I first started this project, I thought I was going to have to do everything. I was like, I got to like create a whole event schedule. I got to like start these workshops. And then eventually I had a good friend. Her name is Dora Hernandez. She's worked in the art scene forever in Phoenix. And she helped me a lot along the way when I first started. And she was like, honey, you don't, she's Cuban. She's like, honey, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So I was like, okay. She's like, you can find people who do things that you want to have here in this space. So then I started taking some of the responsibility off of myself. And I think that's kind of a perspective that a lot of people come from. They're just, at the beginning, everything seems so big, right? And there's just no way to do it. How am I going to do all of this? But the objective, if you're trying to create community, is to get the community involved and for them to feel inspired to do something.
So not so much like sometimes, like I notice even me, like I'll complain and I think like I have to do this, I have to do that, like on a personal level, and I'm like, well, actually don't, because I'm lucky because I have a support system that I can lean on and I can be like, hey, actually I need this done and I can't get to it, or it'd be easier if you could do it. And it's like just reaching out to somebody and letting you, somebody, like whether it's the community or individual, know like the things that you, that are required to do something. You'll be surprised that sometimes you'll get people to bite on it and be like, oh, actually, like I can do this or I can do that. Has that happened to you as well?
Yeah, as soon as you just start saying something and you're approaching it with like an open mind and you're not just shooting yourself down, you'll find people, you'll run into people. It just happens. It's crazy. I can attest to that because I'm here.
Because I'm here literally in my bookstore right now talking to you. like I said, our big thing is like I have my qualms with the community and stuff like that, but I'm trying my hardest to try to contribute and show up for things that other people are doing that have nothing to do with me either, because it's important to know that you're supporting others and it's not just like a me or I thing. Just being together with everyone, and that's why too we were saying going out like with us, because go out to the record stores and buy, don't just go on Amazon. Not that there's anything wrong with buying stuff online, because we do buy stuff online, but actually going out there and being and digging or whatever it is, it's like it creates a different experience, and you just, I think it just makes you appreciate things more. Just being out there and physically looking through things and talking to people, even if you don't buy anything, just the experience of being out there and connecting with people, because it's so easy, I think, to get lost nowadays, like behind your phone. And I think we're, like you said, we're all guilty of it. It's not just one person or one type of person. So I always thought that was important. So that's why I thought it was cool the first time when we visited your bookstore. It was actually still on Grand. And I remember how hot it was.
Yeah, it was a little toasty.
The books were crying.
I was crying.
So I remember that. And then I remember I read an article that you were moving. And I was like, well, where's she going to move to? And then you moved over here. And then we finally came to visit. And we're like, oh, it's such a cool spot that we always were. We always talk, because we had a lot of stuff going on last year, about like wanting to come here and play music, like if you guys would allow that and stuff like that. Just cool vibe music, nothing all, we're not going to play Tupac or anything.
You can play some Tupac.
She's like, you can play Monica, please. He's like, ah, Monica, trust me. just playing stuff, and it's just a way for us to connect with people that come through here, because, you know, we come through here every so often, but I don't know the actual, you know, I'm sure you know your customers, right? Do you have regulars?
Yeah, I definitely do have some regulars come in. They special order books, they hang out, and yeah, it's growing little by little, but yeah, I do have some regulars.
It's pretty neat, and the spot on Grand was cool, but I think this is a little bit probably better, because it's a little bit more open, not, it's a lot cooler. Yeah. And which is better for the books, like you were saying. Because I did notice the other spot, it was a little humid, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little damp in
a
there.
A little damp,
sure.
And that's bad for the books, right?
Right.
Yeah, which would also be bad for records if there was records in there.
It's bad for a lot of things.
You know, it's bad. It's good for the skin, but bad for everything else.
It's good for my hair, but...
Exactly, me too. What was I going to say? Do you think you'll ever carry anything, like any type of music media, whether it's cassettes or records or anything in the future?
Yeah, I've definitely thought about it. As it grows, I might end up putting in records. It really just depends on how the space grows. I mean, if I have another location, I will. Because then I have to, you know, eat up some of Jeff's space over here, and he's trying to build his little gallery space. And I don't know how he feels about that. He's looking at me right now. he wants to do it. He's like, yes.
Well, okay, because was something that I do notice that I get all the time from going and digging around is people always tell me I can't really find a lot of music in Spanish with records. And it's like we come across stuff, but it's like we said, I hate to keep using an example, but it's true. You go to L.A. and there's just... it's available. You can just get records in Spanish everywhere over there. But over here, it's a little bit more scarce. So that would be cool if you would carry some Spanish records, because I know a lot of people that always ask us, like, do you know a place here that carries a lot? And I'm like, not really. You just kind of got to look.
Yeah, and it really just depends on what's available. I'm sure I've discovered from, you know, having to order books that finding books in Spanish is really difficult. There are not a lot of distributors in the U.S. that offer books in Spanish, and I just haven't had the time to just, like, be gone for a week in Mexico and, like, just grab a ton of books and drive back, you know? So that's really a struggle, because there hasn't been a demand created for that. So, and I'm sure it's probably a lot easier in L.A. than it is here. I just feel like L.A.'s different, you know, it
kind of more connected and involved.
Yeah, they're more connected, they're more involved, they have a whole different cultural identity. I mean, I get, so this kind of gives you an example of how different LA is. I would say like 60 to 70% of the people who follow me on my Instagram page are from LA. And I get people who travel all the way out from that area just to visit me, because, you know, they don't have something exactly like this, but they're like, if we had it, we would totally support it. And I feel like they really would. And I'm like, damn, I should really have a spot in LA.
Hey, maybe you will be able to connect with somebody out there, because we actually have somebody that listens to LA, and I have no clue who they are. Don't know, because we get analytics back and it tells us like demographically or geographically where they are, but I don't know anything else about them. So maybe the person listening in LA will be like, hey, Rosie, I'm going to email you.
I feel like the music scene is different too. So you have, you know, like Chicano punk is pretty popular, but that's more in LA. I didn't grow up around any Chicano punks, you know.
Not here. Like there was some at my school, the high school that I went to, but those kids were actually from Mexico and then they came here. But it wasn't, there was no actual scene here. Like there was no, it just didn't exist. I don't know. And I feel like the music is a lot more diverse too. Like they have, there's a big like a funk scene, and then a big like a, have you seen like the goth surf rock style that they have out there?
I haven't.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's super awesome. So they have like that style, and a lot of those bands are actually like Chicano bands, so it's pretty interesting to see, because I feel like out here they kind of more pigeonhole you, like, yeah. You can only be one way or another, but
you
it's
have to listen to oldies.
Little Robs, yeah. SPM.
That's what you gotta do. You gotta Lighter Shade of Brown.
Yeah,
you gotta listen to
she's
all
she's all
of
not
that.
Talking down, I'm just saying.
You gotta listen to Art LeBeau and all those songs, all those little compilation discs everybody has. You know, like, that's what you do, that's what you listen to. You dress a certain way, you know, you all have to dress kind of like cholos and yeah, you have to have Nike Cortezes. All that stuff, especially in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, obviously this is a music podcast about music and records. So what is it that you collect? I know you say Jeff buys most of your guys' stuff, but what is it that
your taste.
Your taste, yeah, specifically.
My taste is all over the map. I mean, Jeff will tell you. He was just laughing at me today. It's like, you don't really have any, like, specific, like, genre that you're into. So, my sister, she had those little Art LeBeau songs. She listened to oldies. She listened to, you know, all the Mexican and Chicano rap stuff. And then she was kind of an influence in that way. I like a lot of, like, the 90s R&B stuff.
Okay, I have a question then. So did you ever listen to Lights Out Phoenix with Melissa the Midnight Mamacita?
Oh, yeah.
Every Mexican
girl. You should start your podcast with that.
I wish. iTunes would be like, I'm shutting you down. Copyright infringement.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And then I had that side of things from her, but then I had my brother and then my other brothers who kind of followed suit with the type of music that he was into. So he was like, fuck that, you know, am I allowed to say that? He's like, I'm not gonna, you know, be your cliche Chicano cholo type. My sister had already taken that identity in the family, so
that was taken.
So my brother was listening to death metal and like speed metal. So I grew up listening to a lot of that too. And then my other brother listens mainly to punk. And then my youngest brother, Luis, he listens to like just all different kinds of metal, but black metal and stuff like that.
I feel like our generation, I noticed that because I was born in 85 as well. And actually so was here. We kind of like benefited from that. Like if we had older siblings or cousins that were around us and we like, kind of were like the big old like melting pot of all the musical tastes. So I don't know, my musical tastes too are like all over the place. Like sometimes I'll go spin some places and they're like, oh, this is what you collect. I'm like, well, it's one of the things, but I pretty much like if I like it, I'll just kind of, as long as it's not like $1 million, I'll buy it. I don't know, because I feel like too at the time when you look at, because we look at the Hot 100 when we go back and we look at things. And during the 90s, like the late 90s and early 2000s, the Hot 100 and the Top 10 and stuff, they're actually pretty diverse. The musical taste, like it's like rock, a lot of R&B, like some rap and stuff. So I feel like that's why a lot of people from our generation, maybe our musical tastes aren't just like in one lane. We kind of listen to a little bit of everything. We're okay with it.
I'm all over the place. I can't really tell you like what my favorite genre is or anything like that because I don't have one.
You said you liked Tool though, right?
Yeah, Tool was one of my bands growing up. I mean, I don't know what happened to Maynard. Pussifer, whatever it's called, I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
That's not a good idea.
I think he has a record store in Jerome, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I've never been there or have seen it.
And he has like a winery too, but...
Yeah, Caduceus.
Have you been there?
I have been there.
Oh, look at her. She went all the way over there.
Well, I've been to Jerome, and so I tried, what was it? They have a cab. Maybe this is cultural appropriation, but he called it the Chupacabra.
I love a good pun.
It was pretty good, though.
So the wine was good because I don't know anyone that's been, and I like wine, but I don't know anything about wine. I'm going to be honest. I just like it. I'm the type where is it good or bad?
Yeah,
it was good.
I don't know a whole lot about wine either, but I liked it. So that's,
you know, thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up. And in the 90s, I remember all the cool Tool videos, you know, especially in the early 90s. It's just really trippy. You'll never really understand what it means, and everybody's trying to figure out what a Tool song means. Like, stop, don't even try.
It's just supposed to trip you out, man. I know. What about A Perfect Circle? Did you like them?
I like the first album. I like Emoto a little bit, but I don't know. It got like when he's trying to like redo Marvin Gaye and redo. What was it? Imagine. I don't know. It got a little bit too.
It was too much.
Too much.
Tripped you out too much.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't like newer stuff.
Didn't. Yeah, I hear that. I'm. Tool reminds me of one of my old stepdads because he used to play it all the time and I hated him.
Oh, I'm sorry. So it ruined Tool for you. Actually, Jeff has a story like that.
That about Tool?
Not about Tool. Who is it? I can't think of it. He played the song November Rain.
GNR?
Guns and Roses, yeah, Guns N' Roses. Thank you, yeah, Guns N' Roses. So, yeah, that's the reason he doesn't like a couple of his songs.
Jeff's telling us from across the room. He's like, get it right. Yeah. That sounds good. So, Palabras is over here. Is there anything else actually you want to say before we wrap it up?
Actually, there is one more thing I would like to share with you guys. So, every first Saturday usually is when we have our open mic night. It's called Pocket to Me, and it's a POC open mic night. We're just not doing it for September since we already have another open mic night going on. But we're always looking for people who want to perform for that. So if you do poetry, if you do spoken word, if you rap, if you sing, if you're an artist of any kind, we definitely encourage you to participate. And all you would have to do is just you follow us on Facebook. You could follow us on Instagram. We usually create an Eventbrite page for it each month. And just submit what it is that you'd like to share via email to info@palabrasbookstore.com.
And the Instagram is palabras_bookstore, correct?
Yes.
And then you can just search Palabras Bookstore on Facebook and it should come up. I think it's pretty easy, right?
Yeah, but before we go, I do have a question. You're talking about how sometimes you'll see messages written in books, you know, just like, you know, sometimes it's inspirational or this is how this made me feel. Have you ever seen anything that made you laugh or like cringe or anything like that in a book?
Like something memorable that you remember that was written in a book kind of thing?
Something memorable? Yes. This is kind of a really neat one. So there's sometimes there's artifacts that you find in a book that have like historical significance to them. You're like, wow. So this book is a really dumb book. It's like basically like a watch out for Cesar Chavez because this guy's trouble and he's, you know, I forgot the name of the book, but this guy took the time to write it and it was published. And so somebody had donated as a, you know, gift to the bookstore. But inside of it, there was a note that was written on like the Maricopa County Agricultural Department's letterhead. And it was just like, yeah, you really need to read this book. This guy's trouble. Watch out for him. So somebody was like...
That worked for the county?
Yeah, that was like, this guy...
Do you think they delivered you when you were born? Comes full circle.
No. But yeah, it was just... That was kind of neat. And so sometimes I do get a hold on to some really interesting historical pieces, and that was one of them.
That's cool. Have you found anything in a record before?
I have not found anything in a record, but we did talk to a record store owner who says he always finds, like, phone numbers. One time he found a pair of chonies in one. And so, you know...
Or when we were at Vinyl Source in California, the record store owner, Gilbert, he was determined to find this lady. He said at the time, he's like... Because it was like a souvenir to the Kiss fan club or something like that. And it was a Kiss record, so... He said that he pulled it out and he was like looking at it and it had the girl's address at the time, her age, her name. And it said, I remember, okay, it said, this was the big thing about it. It said sex, male or female. And the person, the girl just put like, I'm good at it or something. She was 13. But he was like, I wonder if this girl even remembers that she like wrote that at 13. Like if her mind was in that place. And he was like, I'm so determined to get this freaking record back to this girl. And he was looking for her because he's like, I want to get it back to her. Like she obviously loved Kiss. She was going to join the fan club. Did she ever join? And he had like all these questions. And I don't know if he ever found her.
I don't know. I'm not sure if he ever found her.
We should reach out to him and ask. Yeah, we'll reach out to him and ask. We'll follow up and let you guys know. But yeah, I feel like books and records are not obviously the same thing, but they kind of go hand in hand in a way because a book is a personal experience and records are as well. And you also have books in English and Spanish, so they're not just Spanish here, correct?
That's right. So we have books in English and Spanish, and we have a lot of children's books that are bilingual, too, for people that are trying to get their kids to learn Spanish or learn English. And then we do offer discounts for teachers where we give them 10% off, and if they spend more than $100, they get 15% off of their books. We want to try to encourage teachers to offer, you know, books that are more culturally diverse.
Yeah, my friend is an ESL teacher, and I was just talking to her last week, and she said she came here a few times because she lives kind of far, so she's like, it's hard for me to make it out with my kids and stuff. But she actually said that her district doesn't allow her to have books in Spanish in her ESL class, and she's like, that doesn't make any sense at all, because right. She teaches kindergarten. So she was trying to, so she has like her own personal library in a way that she lets the parents check out from, that's not the schools, because she's like, you're hurting the kids by saying like, just learn English and that's it, like it's over with,
right? Don't speak Spanish ever again.
Some people are like that here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's part of our history. It's ingrained in our history, and to think that that doesn't affect us is a silly thing. So, you know, you want to try to undo that type of damage. So that's another reason, major reason for the bookstore, is I grew up having to, you know, look at, you know, the Babysitter's Club, and none of those girls looked like me, and I did not live a life like them. So
you didn't see yourself out there.
Yeah, I just didn't see myself out there. And, you know, we shouldn't be just an elective that somebody can take once they get to college. We should be part of core curriculum. If I have to read Shakespeare and I have to read Great Expectations and Mark Twain in my freshman year of high school,
or The Scarlet Letter, I got the cliff notes on that one because I fell asleep.
Right? I should also, you know, part of my core curriculum should be, you know, Zora Neale Hurston or W.B. Du Bois or Rudolfo Anaya, you know, things that I can relate to, things that others can relate to. The white American narrative isn't the only narrative, and I'm hoping that the space that I've created could be part of that evolving and changing.
Yeah, really bringing it, like you're saying, to the community, what's lacking. That's why you created the bookstore. So I think that's awesome. So come down to Palabras, buy some books, get some coffee, get some beautiful smelling candles.
Get it all.
Get it all over here at Middell Market.
The other thing, you have zines. I forgot to, you didn't really mention about your zines, your little zine counter over there.
I do have a cute little zine counter over there. Thank you for throwing that in there.
Thanks, Andrew.
So I'm always looking for zines, too. So if you make a zine, part of the POC community, I would definitely want to carry your zine. So let me know if you have something. I wish we had more. I've made one zine so far. It's all about hot Cheetos. If you're down with that, you might be into my zine. But also making a zine that's kind of like a short story with historical fiction based off of some really racist stuff that went down in Tempe, in the area that I grew up in back in the 1950s, which is, I'm not going to get into it because that's really a lot involved.
It's way heavy and we're not getting into that.
Yeah, it's some really heavy stuff, but also, you know, it's stuff that we need to talk about, so that's why I was writing that. And yeah, so if you do have a zine and you want us to carry it, please let me know.
You have a zine here about the Smiths, right?
Like it's yeah.
So what's that one all about, really
it's
quick?
It's called Louder Than Bombas, and it's about Morrissey, and it's about how Chicanos are kind of obsessed with the Smiths, and why is that? So she kind of gets into that. I don't want to ruin the zine for you, but at the end of it, she isn't the biggest fan of Morrissey, and she'll explain that to you.
And there, it comes with the CD, correct?
It does come with the CD, too. And the CD is cool because it gives you, like, a little introduction of each song. So it's not just the music itself.
Awesome. Well, I guess we're pretty much done. You good?
Yeah. Want to shout out that Instagram one more time for us?
Give it to us one more time, Rosie.
So, one more time. Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Yes,
hey, that
two.
Was on your list.
That was on your list.
On my list, right? So it is palabras_bookstore. That's our Instagram. Please follow us. Please like us and all that fun stuff.
And you can just search Palabras Bookstore on Facebook, info@palabrasbookstore.com, right? Is that your email address?
That's my email address, yeah.
And then for us, I'm so bad I didn't give her information at the beginning again. I think this is the second episode, right?
Yeah, it's getting a little rough. It's
getting a little rough. I need to put that down in my hand or something to post it. No. So we changed about 2 episodes ago our Instagram to from whatever it was before, I can't even remember, to Just Keep Spinning Podcast. And our email is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. And we are not on Facebook. We will be soon. And I guess that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah. Listen to us on iTunes and all that good stuff. Rate and review. Whatever.
Spotify.
All that good shit.
Yes. And I guess don't stop digging and just keep spinning.
Thanks, guys.